Good morning, Evangel. We are so glad that you are with us. We're starting a new series called Quarantine Workout, and we're going to be just talking a little bit about what it looks like to work out in the scriptures. My partner here is Levi. If you go on the web or you go on Facebook, there are classes, and some of those classes that are there, like I saw one, my buddy's brother-in-law has a cooking show, and he did this fettuccine alfredo. He's a professional chef, and it looked amazing. It looked way better than just pouring it out of a jar onto the noodles. I saw a barbecue one. And so everyone, it seems like, is taking classes. Levi, you've been taking a class. What class have you been taking?
It's called Dribble Up.
Dribble Up?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Dribble Up. What is Dribble Up?
You go online, and you use a ball with a sensor inside to do classes with tutors, and they just help you learn drills and stuff for dribbling.
So it's like a basketball, like ball handling type of a class, right?
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
A week and a half.
A week and a half. When you first started out, how good were you?
I was not that good.
Not very good, huh? Have you learned some things?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've gotten better at it, right? And it took a little bit of time. You took some time to be there, and you gotten a little better at it, you think?
Yeah.
What would you tell somebody who's just starting out in a new exercise?
It doesn't really matter if you're that good or not. Just you can, no one knows, like, really that you're doing it and what you're doing. You can just keep doing it and getting better, and yeah.
All right, and you're going to show us a couple of things that you've learned over the week and a half that you've been doing this?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is the pound dribble.
This is the pound dribble. All right, you got anything else you got for us? All right. Holy smokes. When Levi started out doing this, he was dribbling, and it was not going through your legs very well, was it? It was going all over the place. But you've gotten better at doing this thing as you've practiced and you've put some time in. So let's hear it for my assistant here, Levi. Thank you. You can go down. If you're taking a class, we'd love to see that in the comments. Tell us what you're doing. It's part of being in the community. We'll just get to know a little bit about you and a little bit about what's happening in your life. And so put it in the comments, and we'd love to see what everyone's doing out there during this quarantine time. I think it was Malcolm Gladwell who popularized the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert at something or to be great at something. So Levi, you probably have maybe, 9,940 hours left, and then you will be an expert dribbler. But it takes time to get good at something, and it takes time to move forward and to get these things down. When you're at the gym, I like going to the gym, and I tend to do the exercises that instantly give me gratification. And so I like to do a little bench pressing thing. I like to get one of these bad boys out, and you do the curls. You're doing this whole thing, and you're curling, right? And then what happens is you can look at your arms, and you're like, whoa, yeah, there's instant gratification. And you're like, yeah, it got bigger somehow. And this is awesome, right? Yet there's other exercises that I like to do too. I like to go to the play basketball. When we weren't in quarantine, we'd go a couple times a week, and I'd hang out with Big Steve and Big Country and Choppers and Bobcat, and we'd all play basketball. Travis was there too, and throw some elbows at each other and keep going, do those types of things. Those were all good. I like doing those type of things where there's a game or there's instant gratification. What I hate doing is this whole thing called core exercises. When you're doing the plank or whatever, and you're on there and you're doing the plank or you're doing sit-ups, you go and you feel the burn, right? You feel the burn in your tum-tum. But when you go back and you take your shirt off and you're getting into the shower, you look at Buddha, and little Buddha, you're like, you didn't change at all, right? Like, what happened? There's not instant gratification in doing core exercises. And yet, those core exercises do an amazing thing for you. They allow you to perform perform. They allow you to move. They allow you to do the next step in what you're doing in whatever other exercise that you have. The same holds true for spirituality. One of the things that we do in spirituality is we like instant gratification. We like this idea of God, like, you know, zap down, you know, give me kind of this zoom in on me and give me whatever I need for that day. Yet we don't like to work on the core exercises. So we do these things and we hope for God to zap in on us and give us this kind of electrified moment in our life. And when it doesn't happen that way, we're like, where are you, God? What's happening here? And it's like he hasn't given us the juice. He hasn't given us the spiritual steroids or whatever it may be. And we're like, hey, where are you, God? And yet we haven't worked on our core. We haven't worked on those things that we need to do. And so one of the things that we want to talk about in this series is, what does it look like to work out your spiritual core? So what does it look like for followers of Jesus to work out our spiritual core? You know, I have a spiritual hero. You may have heard of him. His name is Jesus. And Jesus, he worked out his spiritual core. He worked out in really three very simple ways. And that's what we're going to talk just briefly about today, the spiritual core. And then we're going to go through each one of these in a little more detail in the weeks to come. But he did three things. He worked out by reading scripture or knowing scripture. He worked out by being in community. He was in community. He worked out by praying. And we're going to see that through the scriptures. One of the things that's interesting about Jesus is that he wasn't like, we know him as God-man, right? Like, he was 100% God and 100% human. And yet the scriptures tell us that he grew in his stature. Luke chapter 2 talks about this. He had to go through a physical change. He had to go through a physical movement in his life to grow physically, but also to grow spiritually. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong." It's talking about Jesus. "He was filled with wisdom, and grace of God was on him." And Jesus, it jumped down to verse 52, it says, "Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." He grew in his capacity. He grew in his ability. He grew in his understanding, in his wisdom, in his spiritual core. When we do spiritual core training, what happens is we grow in our understanding. We grow in our understanding of who God is. We grow in our understanding of how, like, to relate to him, to connect to him. And so it's not like, you know, give me the juice, give me this thing over here. It's already starting to develop in us. What we know about developing our core is that it takes time. It's not just a lightning bolt experience. Spirituality, or building your spiritual core, is much more like climbing a mountain. I got the opportunity to climb a mountain a few years back. It was a while back. And I want to show you a couple of pictures here. The first picture is of our base camp. The base camp that we had, there's the mountain that we were going to climb the next day. It's a little intimidating when you're sitting down at base camp. You're there and you're looking at this kind of ominous, big, huge, large task in front of you. We were going to get up early in the morning, we were going to go there, and we were going to climb this thing. But we were camping on right by this little riverbed. I had a tent mate, he got altitude sickness, and there was a bunch of problems before we made that summit run. But as we walked up to this thing, my feet were hurting, my legs were hurting, but we had trained to be able to do this. Here's another picture of right before you get to the summit. It's not a huge, like, you know, rope yourself in type, you know, climb backwards type of a thing, but it was still difficult. It's this difficult movement up to the top of this mountain, and there's these little gulch trails that go up there, and it was hard. It was difficult, and we had trained before to be able to do this, to be able to have the mountaintop experience, and so the mountaintop experience, called Mount Herard, and I can't remember exactly what the height of it is, but it was incredible. incredible once you got there. There's this incredible satisfaction when you got on top of it. The same goes true with our spirituality. We train for it. We engage with it. We understand that we're not always going to live on the mountaintop. It's not, you don't live on the mountaintop, but you move yourself up toward the mountaintop as you relate to God, as you know God, as you experience God in those things. The basic core strengths that we need to have to experience God in a fresh and a new way in quarantine time is that one of them is that we need to read our Bibles. You need to fill your mind with the things that are written in the scriptures. Jesus did this. He's one of my spiritual heroes. He understood scripture. He understood this is a special revelation from God. This is different than natural revelation, which would be the revelation that we see when the sun rises and the sun sets. We're like, whoa, how did that happen? What did God do? How did this creation be around? That's called natural revelation, but this is special revelation. This is a word from God to us to understand who he is. One of the things that I've often gotten in trouble with this, and I think we do this sometimes, is we think this is a book of rules. Well, this is, it does have some family rules. It has some family values. This is how the best way to live as a human. And that is true. But the real thrust of this is this one big story. And this one big story is a story about God. It's a story of who he is, his faithfulness, his goodness, his wanting to help humanity. And it's a story about him. And so when we read this and when we understand this, we become in awe of God. We become in awe of who he is. It's his story, and it's his story and how it intersects with our story. And so his story plus our story is always a great story. And so we need to understand who God is. We need to be in awe of God. If we just think this as a rule book, I think we miss the actual point of it. Jesus came and he was commissioned here to live here on earth. He was given a mission to come here to earth to save the earth. But part of that mission was to point people back to who God is. Jesus is this exact representation of the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, is what Jesus says. And part of that is so when we see Jesus or when we see God, we become in awe of him because it drives everything that we do. It drives all of the rules. It's how we relate to our spouses. We're in awe of God, and it teaches us how to relate to our spouses. We know the passage in a very familiar passage, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second of these is to love your neighbor. What's the first? To love God. Well, when we love God, we're in awe of God. We know who he is. We're connected to who he is. And that compels us or propels us to do some of these other things. How do I relate to my neighbor? Well, I relate to my neighbor because I'm in awe of God because he created them. He created me. It also gives us a great understanding of our weakness. It gives us an understanding of our sin. It gives us an understanding of, like, we don't meet up to the God of the universe. We don't relate up to him. And so we go, whoa, we've sinned. We're disconnected in this thing. And we go, wow, this is bad. And we weep over our sin because of who we understand who God is. But that compels us to do something else. It compels us to give grace to other people. Otherwise, why do we give grace? Like, we understand that we are all saved by grace of God, right? And then it compels us to be gracious to other people. And so everything we do is connected to this awe of God. Well, how do we become in awe of God? Well, you can watch the sun set and the sun rise and go, wow, that's really beautiful. But if you really want to understand who God is, you need this. You need to read your Bible. You need to understand your Bible. You need to go through this and be connected to it. Jesus was talking to a group of people who were very religious. And in Mark chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said this, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or is it the power of God? And we often I think, get into this disconnect with God. We go, where are you, God? We want this spiritual revelation. We want this spiritual steroids. And God says, hey, like, I've given you this word, like, know it. Jesus spent time in the word. We know this. When he was 12 years old, he was in the temple, and he was learning, he was understanding, and he was speaking also. But he grew in his stature, he grew in his understanding, he grew in his wisdom, he grew in the grace of God. And Jesus understood the scripture. So number one thing that we do for our core exercise is we get into the word of God. We have this study coming, Luke, 6 chapters, really easy, probably 30 minutes of your time in the next 3 or 4 days. Join us on Wednesday. It'll be awesome. So I want to give a shout out for that idea. Email Nate at evangelup.org. He'll get you a connection point to that. The second thing that we do for our core, and Jesus had this, is that we are in community. So the first one is that we're in awe of God. The danger of not being in awe of God is this. Let me just say this really quickly. The danger of not being in awe of God is it's quickly replaced by something else. And that quickly replaced by something else is us. We always put ourselves in that place of God. And so that's why it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and then love your neighbor. It goes this first, then this. It always does that because when we're in awe of God, we can relate in that way. Otherwise, we put ourselves in that place and we become that. The second core strength is being involved in community. Jesus always had people around him. He was building relationships with them. He was connecting with them. Remember John the Baptist, that was Jesus's cousin. That was, I think, a lifetime relationship for Jesus. He checked up on him. Remember, he was in prison, and John the Baptist sends some people over, and Jesus said, man, I've healed the blind. I am the real deal. I want to make sure you're comforted. John does die in that, but Jesus was there with him. Jesus had this relationship with him. He hung out with the 12, right? He was connected to them. He ate with them. He taught them. He walked with them. He prayed with them. He taught them how to pray. He taught them about the scriptures. He told stories to them. And he was always in this sense of community, this sense of connection with these other people. He did not... What's interesting is there's lots of people that were gathering around him. But Jesus, in his relationship, he didn't indiscriminately just go, yeah, you're in. He like took people that he was friends with and he poured into them. One of the great things I think about this quarantine time is that we have to be people who are we're not indiscriminate about our relationships anymore. Like, I used to go to work and I'd connect with the guys, or I'd connect with this person, or, you know, like, life just kind of happens and you weren't so pointed in building relationships. Well, now we have to be very, like, conscientious of how we're going to connect with people. Like, hey, like, I'm going to do this Zoom call with this person, or I'm going to call this person on the phone. And we're very focused on building relationships, building community. And that's part of what Jesus did. Part of why we do that in the church is so that we are connected to this. So people can help us. They can refine us. They can connect with us. That we can celebrate together. That we can care for each other. That we can practice the one another's of the scriptures that it tells us to do. Because we're in awe of God, we're connected to God's people. And so community is a huge part of this. I know it's a little harder in quarantine time, but we can still do this. We can still be connected to each other. The final thing that Jesus did, and we see this over and over, and I think this one's probably the hardest one for me, is prayer. Jesus prayed. Jesus spent time with his heavenly Father. He taught the disciples to pray. He taught others to pray. And there would be times where all these people, all these things, think about your life, when we're back to normal, if there's a new normal, or if there is a normal, when we're running around doing all those things, it's difficult to find time to pray. I've found it much easier in this time of quarantine to have times of prayer. I go out in my barn, start my little fireplace up out there, and I sit there and I hang out and I pray, and it's been awesome, right? That's been a good thing for me. But I think that there are times in our life when all the pressures of the world are coming around. It's very difficult for me, and I think sometimes probably for you, to find time in prayer. But if you look at Jesus and what he did in his his spiritual core training is he spent time in prayer. It didn't matter if all the pressures of the world. The disciples come to him one time and they're like, hey, you know, all these people are looking for you. Where you been? And he's like, dudes, I needed to spend time with my heavenly Father. I went away and I prayed. I took the time to build my spiritual core so that I can go and minister to these people, so that I can go and connect with these people, so that I can go and live this thing how the Father intended me to live. It was a part of his fitness regimen. Some of you might right now be going, well, you know, Levi, those are all good, and those are good disciplines, and yet I'm not a very disciplined person. And I would say this to you. Yes, you are. You are disciplined. You can do these things. You can read your Bible. You can build intentional relationships. You can pray. And you don't have to. There's no like, I don't think there's a discipline gene. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think there is a discipline gene. Or there's not a discipline genie, right? That doesn't happen. But you are disciplined in the things that you want to be disciplined. Most of you don't buy a new car every 6 months. Why? Because you change the oil, right? Like you're disciplined in that. Most of you have electricity because you paid your electric bill. You're disciplined in paying your bills. Like you are disciplined, but you're disciplined in the things that you want. If you want this deeper relationship with God, this connection with who he is, then you need to practice these things that are sometimes difficult. I just told you, I don't like going to the gym. I don't like doing the sit-up things. And sometimes these feel like the sit-ups of the spiritual world. And yet they're very important to how we recognize, how we connect with, how we live our lives out in this world to who God is. I know for many of us, we want this lightning bolt God. We want to have just this zap in, you know, we want to go to the verse of the day. Okay, God, give it to me for today. This is going to be my verse. And we read one verse. If that's where you're at, that's good. But there's more. There's more. And oftentimes when we just have that one verse, it's out of context. It's not speaking deeply into our hearts and into our lives. And God wants to speak into your life in a great and a mighty way. So what do we do? I think Levi did a really good job of just explaining something. He said to us, he said, you know, if you're just starting out, just go at it. Go and do it a little bit. And it doesn't matter if you're not good at it right away. Just keep practicing. Nobody knows that you're not good at it, right? And so you can keep going. So if you don't read your Bibles, I would just say, hey, maybe tomorrow you say, hey, I'm gonna give 10 minutes to getting up, and just 10 minutes, and reading the Bible. I'm going to start in Luke. I keep pushing that. But I'd love for you guys to read Luke with us. You'll understand who Jesus is in a really cool way. But just start there. Maybe the next week you go, hey, I'm going to read for 15. And maybe the next week, maybe 20 minutes. And you start to gain some of that core strength. The second thing is do what works for you. I think that's one of the important things. A lot of times I know this for me, like when you get back on a new exercise regimen, you want to go gung-ho and you're gonna be buff in 2 days, right? And so you're like lifting, you're stretching, you're doing, you know, cardio, you're doing everything at once. Well, the problem is you usually burn out in that. And then day 3, you're so sore you can't even move, right? Like if you haven't been lifting weights or whatever, you get so sore you can't even move. Do what works for you. Start small and start working forward, but do what works for you. If you like to, you know, maybe you still have a commute. Maybe you throw a CD of the Bible in and say, hey, I'm going to dedicate that time to listening to Scripture. There's great Bible apps that will read it to you. You can use that. Whatever, maybe it's for you. You have to get up in the morning and that's when you're going to do it. Maybe it's at night. That's when you're going to meet. Maybe it's in midday at lunchtime. That's what you're going to do to get into the Scriptures, to pray. Whatever works for you, you do that and just do it. Be disciplined about it. Keep doing it over and over again. In a week and a half, I saw Levi when he first started out. I mean, he had trouble dribbling through his legs, going like this. And now, look, you know, he's getting better at it. And he'll con- you continue to do. Same thing happens spiritually that happens in the physical world. You get better at it. You get connected to it. You start to see the things of God in a different way as you relate to him through his word, through the way that he chose to relate to us. The third thing is be patient. Be patient. No one gets on the treadmill and does, you know, a 2 mile run and goes, okay, ready for the marathon tomorrow. Nobody does that. Be patient with it. You know what? It may be difficult for, you know, maybe for week one is awesome. You're going, man, this is awesome. This is incredible. Week two is a little bit difficult, but be patient. Continue to do it. Continue to practice these things, because what will happen is you will see and you will experience God in a new way. I absolutely believe this because I've seen this. I've done this. I just want to encourage you this week. There's all kinds of great workouts out there. You can learn to cook. You can learn a new language. You see that one? That's a good one. You can learn a new language this week. You can exercise physically. You can do tons of different things. You can do hot yoga, goat yoga, whatever you want to do. It's out there. You can find it. But spiritually, there is a formula to get better at this. There is a way to experience God in a new way. I think all of you that are listening want to experience the creator of the world in a new and a fresh way. And so I want to encourage you, get into your Bibles. Connect with some people who know Jesus. You know, make a Zoom call. Call somebody on the phone, whatever it may be. And the third thing is spend some time in prayer. Maybe it's a few minutes. Maybe it's just a dedicated time that you're going to do. Maybe for you, you're going to light a candle and you're going to put some worship music on, listen to a couple songs, and then just thank God for who he is. But connect with this. Start to do the spiritual workout. It's not instant gratification. It's not this. You're probably not going to have the instant gratification that quickly. But be patient and keep working at it, and you will experience God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you've given us an example in Jesus of how to know you, how to connect with you, how to live more human than we ever could live by being connected to who you are. God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you chose to give us this. God, let us not take it for granted. Let us connect with it. Let us believe it. Let us understand it. Let us understand this grand story of who you are. God, we also ask that as we do this, that we would connect with others. You've given us community. You've given us people. We are people who need people, and you've designed us that way. Let us do that well, even in quarantine. God, I also pray that you would help us to understand the value of prayer. Sometimes you feel silent, God, and I'll admit that. You feel silent. And yet, as we do this, as we practice this, God, you show up. And you love hearing your kids' voices as we cry out to you. God, I pray for all those listening and myself too, that we would experience that this week, that we would experience your love, that we would experience who you are, that we would see you a little bit more clearly this week as we practice these core strengths. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I just want to remind you one more time. Wednesday, as a community, we're getting together. We'll have read 6 chapters of Luke. You'll be connected as a community. We'll be connected to the Word of God. There may even be some prayer. All your core strengths. One day, 6:30 Wednesday. Mark that off in your calendar. Send Nate an email. Be a part of this. It's awesome. We don't care if your kids are running around and they're crazy in the background. That's okay. You know, we've seen kids in underwear running through. We've seen everything. So it's okay. Just be a part. Come be a part with us. And let's experience God together. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.